This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
For those of you that were watching the Super Bowl and saw something peeking out of Tom Brady's sleeve and it looked extremely gold and you're wondering, what was it? It was a $740,000 watch from Jacob & Company, the yellow sapphire caviar tourbillon watch. Tom Brady's extremely rich. I don't tell anybody how to spend their money, just like I don't want anybody to tell me how to spend mine. He can buy whatever he wants. If you got the money, I don't care. Spend whatever you want. But I will say this. I am rocking a $150 Bulova here on my wrist. It's about 20 years old. And I can tell you that it's 710. And I don't know that a $740,000 watch is going to do any more than that for you. And I guess really a $20 Casio's. Do it if you can still get a $20 Casio watch. But hey, spend your money however you want. We'll take a break. We come back. We're going to talk to Shannon Martin, Bankrate insurance analyst. One thing we do not want to spend our money on is car insurance. We're going to take a macro view of car insurance in the country and why is it so expensive. All right, 7:14. It's going to rain. Then it's going to stop. Then it's going to cool off a little bit. Then it's going to rain again. It's going to cool off a little bit. Maybe some heavy rain tonight into tomorrow. We'll keep you aware of everything you need to know. We thought we'd take a macro look at the auto insurance situation in the country because we all know what we go through here in Louisiana. Shannon Martin joins us now, Bankrate insurance analyst, to talk about the factors that impact auto insurance costs. Good morning, Shannon. How are you?
I'm doing good. Good morning.
We I think, in Louisiana pay the highest rates, do we, in the country, or do you know? Do you have that in front of you?
I do have that. So when we look at the premium, Louisiana drivers don't pay the highest in premium, but they definitely contribute the most of their household income towards car insurance. So the average cost of full coverage car insurance in Louisiana is right under $4,000 a year. But drivers contribute almost 7% of their household income towards car insurance, and that's double the national average.
So when, however you phrase it, it is the, and let me put it this way, Shannon, auto insurance in Louisiana, it is the most expensive in the country in Louisiana, proportionally pro rata, however you want to look at it, right?
Yes. I mean, I guess the best way to say it is that drivers in Louisiana are bearing like the brunt of the financial burden in terms of car insurance costs. What we did is we looked at the average cost of car insurance as well as the median household income. That way we could kind of see who's really feeling these rising costs the most, and it's drivers in Louisiana.
I want to bring the audience into this because, boy, you want to get some passion out of people. Talk about car insurance and what they pay. I don't know where you live or how much you pay, but with the vehicles I have, I don't even, honestly, Shannon, I don't question it. I just keep paying it because what are you going to do, right? Let's talk about
Absolutely. What
it is that goes into nationally dictating these rates and how insurance companies come to figure out how much it's going to cost. Is there excessive profit making when it comes to auto insurance, et cetera?
Those are all good questions. So the reason why the car insurance rates have gone up as much as they have, they've increased 31% since 2023 to 2025, which is a lot compared to how insurance normally increases. Part of it does come from rising inflation. Even though inflation has started to slow down, that doesn't lower the cost of cars and car parts. Those products still cost as much as they are. It just means they're getting more expensive at a slower rate. The cost of health care is another factor that your car insurance pays for. And then there's actually been a technician shortage that's been going on for the past few years. So right when cars are being made with all these new kind of high-tech pieces of equipment, all the cameras, the microchips and things like that, we have a mechanic shortage when we need it the most. So all these are coming together to make car insurance more expensive. In terms of profitability, it kind of depends on how you look at it. Insurance companies say that they're struggling to make a profit, which on one hand is true. What they look at is their underwriting profit. They suffer a lot of losses with these extreme weather events, with the high rate of car crashes that have been happening the past few years. But insurance companies tend to make their money off of investment profits, which is kind of a different bucket. So it really depends on how you look at it from that aspect.
When it comes to, and look, I'm not apologizing for the insurance industry at all, but when it comes to the rates, I guess you do have to look at the fact, and what amazes me, Shannon, is that now people finance a vehicle for 84 months, and they'll advertise it as though it's a deal, and that, to me, is just, I'm old school. That just drives me crazy. 36 months to finance a vehicle seems like an incredibly long time to me. I know people have to do it, but the price of vehicles has gone crazy. Some of these top-end trucks, $125,000, I don't know what a Tesla costs, but, you know, an $80,000 car is not out of the norm, is it? So you got to also look at what it is that's being insured, do you not?
That's exactly right. And that's probably the biggest tip I would give to my policyholders. People who are on the market for a new vehicle are in the strongest position to make the best choice in terms of car insurance. Instead of going to the dealership and talking to the folks on the lot, go home, go to your computer, pull up the dealership website. Now they have their full inventory with the complete VIN numbers, complete VINs listed. You can gather all the VINs that you think you might want to purchase, and then contact your agent. And they can give you exact quotes for each make and model vehicle. That way, when you get to the dealership, you're only looking at the cars you know you can afford from an insurance standpoint, which kind of takes a lot of the pressure off the situation for the car shopper.
Yeah, I think that's an important thing to look at. It's not just the initial price of it, but it's insuring it. And also, maintenance costs are going to be higher for different models than others, right?
That's absolutely right. And part of the reason why car insurance is so expensive is because the cost of the parts and labor has gone up. And as a driver, those things you also have to pay for just in terms of maintenance. And you need to maintain your car. People are keeping their vehicles longer than they ever have because things are getting so expensive. And so it's just really important to keep up with your car maintenance.
I don't know about you, but I just can't believe the price of cars. And I'm not that old. It's just crazy to me that somebody would pay $85,000 or $90,000 for a vehicle, but I guess eventually maybe that'll be the base model. I don't know. We're talking to Shannon Martin, Bankrate insurance analyst, about the factors impacting auto insurance costs. And when we come back, we'll talk about state-to-state competition and the differences. Somebody texted in and said, moved my car from Louisiana paying $400 a month, 60 and 62 years old, to Mississippi. Same company, same coverage, just different state on the card, $86 a month. So why the difference from state to state, and where does litigation factor in all of this? Because if you try to watch the news in the afternoon or the lead up to it, you're going to see nothing but personal injury commercials from attorneys. I don't know if it's worse here than it is in other states, but we'll certainly drill down when we come back with Shannon Martin, Bankrate insurance analyst. Questions, comments, the Oakenheart Jeweler Talk and Text Lines open, 504-260-1870. You text them in, I'll pass them along. Traffic now.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. for millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
But it'll be well. 726, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Shannon Martin, bank rate insurance analyst, talking about the factors impacting car insurance costs. I talk about the difference from state to state. Somebody texted in, Shannon. I try to watch the news in the afternoon, and I am bombarded, especially during these faux court shows with Judge Judy and everybody else. Lawyer after personal injury attorney after personal injury attorney after personal injury attorney, they get a lot of the focuses on them as far as causing higher insurance rates. Are they the cause?
It actually is a significant factor. Third-party litigation and excess lawsuits play into the cost of your car insurance. When a lot of lawsuits are filed or a lot of business is drummed up, each claim still has to be addressed and filed and responded to, even if it's going to be a no answer, even if there's no worthy claim payout happening. And insurance companies have a hard time trying to calculate that risk, a large influx of either fraudulent claims or unnecessary claims. And that just costs car insurance to cost a lot more.
So what can the states do? What would a way be for the states to rein that in? And I guess it all starts with political will.
That's true. I'm sure a lot of your listeners are familiar with the problems that happen with the lawsuits that were going on with homeowners insurance. And the same thing can happen with car insurance, where third-party litigators get involved and they don't necessarily have a financial standing in the case like the claimant would. So having more transparency in who's involved and who's funding third-party litigators could help cut back on fraudulent and unnecessary lawsuits.
One question I always get is, why do credit ratings matter when it comes to insurance?
You know, in some states, there's about 5 states that have ruled that credit use really isn't a fair way to rate insurance policies. So that's something that might change in the future for more states. There's a couple ways insurance carriers look at it. It's all about insuring risk. And so they found that drivers with low credit tend to file claims at a higher rate than drivers with better credit. It could just be that drivers with better credit have more money on hand than drivers with poor credit. But even if you look at it that way, in Louisiana, drivers with poor credit pay $2,800 more per year than drivers with good credit. And so that risk might not really align, but it is a risk factor in Louisiana right now.
Here we are, 2025. Do women still pay more just because they're women?
Actually, historically, women have always paid less because they're women.
Well, good.
And men tend to be more aggressive drivers. But that gap is actually shortening because women drive more now. And as you get older, once you're like 30, 40, 50, the rates are very, very similar.
Well, that's what I said, Shannon. Women pay less. I'm entitled to two dumb questions a day, and I've used them both already. Hey, real quick, when it comes to distracted driving and causes for accidents, that's part of the insurance company's actuarial calculations. I don't see anything, and autonomous vehicles factoring that in. What's the long-range look nationally for auto insurance?
As far as distracted driving, it is still, it's a significant problem. There's a data study that came out recently that found that people aren't even really using that special feature in cell phones that can mute text when they come in when they're driving. So it really is important for drivers to put their phones down, focus on the road. Self-driving vehicles, that's something that really hasn't caught up to insurance yet because that feature really isn't used that often. Not very many cars have them. So we'll still have to wait and see how that'll pan out.
I'm convinced that people think they're multitasking when they're texting and driving, and they're not. The only reason people aren't getting killed is because other people are defensively driving. Thank you, Shannon. I appreciate your time.
Thank you, sir.
You
have
a good
great day.
You too. Shannon Martin, Bankrate Insurance Analyst. When we come back, we'll talk to Allison Plyer, Chief Demographer at the Data Center. We'll talk about Louisiana's population, how it's been changing. 7:30, time now, WWL First News. 7:39, 21 till 8. Interesting to hear David Griffin talking about the physicality of the NBA, and that's what I asked Ali Cosell yesterday after going a couple of Pelicans games and watching them. I don't know how you decide when to call a foul and when you don't. It's like one way or the other. Either you're going to be physical and knock each other all over the court or you're not. Let me know, and then I can build a team that way. But I was asking everybody that I could at the game. I asked Ali Cosell yesterday. I've asked sports people, how do you know when to call a foul in the NFL and nobody in the NBA? And nobody can give me an answer because their hands are all over each other constantly. So I don't know. Speaking of foul, I don't know if you heard any of Newell Norman yesterday at 10 o'clock or not, but it was compelling. He talked to Nick Carle, the ousted board member at Second Harvest Food Bank. And what Newell did, and Newell's an attorney, he's a former sheriff, he knows the law, he knows, he was the tax collector for Jefferson Parish, so he knows the corporate route. He read the articles of incorporation. He read what was changed. It was masterful to listen to the way Newell conducted this interview yesterday. And I would urge you, if you can, to go to WWL.com and listen. And it involves the Archbishop and the Archdiocese and Second Harvest Food Bank. And what's happening, and I thought about this last week because I got a solicitation in the mail from Second Harvest Food Bank. And I thought, surely this is going to affect the donations that people make to Second Harvest. And I'm going to tell you the end of the story, but you really need to listen to the interview to see everything that Newell went through. And the only thing that I took away from it, and the only way I think you can view this, is that the Archdiocese, despite having contributed nothing financially to Second Harvest Food Bank, was trying to raid the assets, if you will, like a corporate raider, trying to take the donations that private individuals, including Jeff Bezos' ex-wife, had made to Second Harvest to feed hungry people, to try to take that money or force the board to provide the Archdiocese with that money to pay for the settlements for pedophile priests. And a couple of notes here. Y'all know for a long time I've been talking about this. You know where I stand on the issue. But to hear this interview and to hear the corporate machinations that are going on behind the scene from the Archdiocese's standpoint was just jaw-dropping to me. Because this is, in my opinion, from what I heard, cold, ruthless corporate maneuvering. And it put Nick Carle, who said he is a practicing Catholic, and this, unlike me, it didn't rattle his faith. As for me, I won't go to a Catholic church again until they sort all of this out. But I don't know how you can look at this any way other than the Archdiocese wanted to take private donations because they were the de facto, I guess, owner of Second Harvest, if you will, although despite contributing nothing financially, and Second Harvest reimbursing the diocese for what the Archdiocese did donate in terms of insurance. And go back and listen to this interview now. But that the Archdiocese wanted Nick Carle and the board, although they unanimously voted not to do it, the Archbishop selectively fired board employees, including Natalie Jairo, the CEO, executive director, whatever she was. They were just doing what they were supposed to be doing as board members and protecting the assets of Second Harvest that came from private donations to feed hungry people. Jeff Bezos' ex-wife didn't donate millions and millions of dollars to pay for the church's bungling handling of the pedophile priest thing. And now they're being held to task to pay victims. That's not what they donated money for. And that's not what people donated money for to Second Harvest. And now, from everything I heard yesterday, the Archbishop and the Archdiocese is trying to get Second Harvest to give some of that money to them to help pay off their bankruptcy claims, when in fact, the Archdiocese, despite claiming bankruptcy, still has assets. And again, if you're talking about a religion as opposed to a corporation here, the Catholic Church has billions and billions and trillions of assets that they even haven't begun to look at or touch. So to say that Second Harvest, and this is where it all distills down here, to say that Second Harvest has to violate their bylaws, although the corporate filing changed some things, and you can hear that in the interview. And again, I'm giving you the encapsulated version here. But for the Catholic Church and the Archdiocese to say that Second Harvest has to give up their private donations and an assessment to help the church pay the bankruptcy claim because the church doesn't have the money to pay that is just beyond ridiculous. And I would suggest you listen to the interview because Nick Carle said it is affecting donations, and that goes back to the organic feeling that I had when I got the solicitation in the mail. Because I buy ducks for the Duck Derby and everything else, and I'll be damned if I want the money that I gave to Second Harvest to feed hungry people to be used by the church to pay for their terrible handling of the pedophile priest situation and taken away from hungry people, because the Catholic Church has assets. If you've been to the Vatican Museum, sell a tapestry, pay the victims off, and do the right thing. That being said, it's only a small percentage of priests that are pedophiles. It's the cover-up and the way the church handled this that did them in. So they need to make it right. They need to do what Jesus would want them to do, not what a hardened Wall Street attorney would want them to do. Make it right and go back and listen to the interview. And Nick Carle said, if you don't want to donate financially, please still volunteer, because he doesn't want hungry people to get hurt. This was an astounding hour. I hope I didn't butcher it too badly. Please go to WWL.com and listen to it and get the truth. But don't punish Second Harvest for this, please, or the work that they do. 7:45, a little bit late. We'll take a break. Coming back, Tommy Tucker, WWL. All right, 7:52, quickly to Allison Plyer, Chief Demographer at the Data Center. How you doing, Allison?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm okay. You got a new report out? What's going on?
Yeah, we've got a report called Pathways to Prosperity for Louisiana. It's really examining the fact, you know, a lot of people have been concerned about population loss in the state, mm-hmm. and which really is the main driver there is lack of economic opportunity. That's why Americans move from one place, one state to another, is economic opportunity, main reason. And since 2000, Louisiana has had among the lowest job growth rates at only 2%. So we took a good look at, you know, why the state is not growing jobs and sort of some pathways to really reinforce our resilience in the face of all the disasters we're experiencing and to grow our prosperity.
And what did you find? What did you find?
Yeah, well, you know, the really interesting thing, of course, we do a ton around oil and gas, which is a perfectly great industry, a lot of, you know, great jobs. But older industries like that, the way they continue to gain profits is through efficiencies, right? So they find ways to hire fewer people by mechanizing things, using computers, et cetera, et cetera. So they're drilling more and more, but they're hiring fewer and fewer people. So where Louisiana really has an opportunity is kind of new industries that are starting, that have been growing. You know, obviously, water management, all the coastal restoration work, these are issues for us, but they're issues across the country. So lots of localities have need for expertise in that. And we have a lot of BP fine money that we're deploying to do this kind of work and could really gain, you know, establish dominance in that market if we really focus on doing that well. And then some federal funds have already come to the state to, you know, to start to help us produce lower carbon energy, which is really the wave of the future. Global customers really want to know that there are fewer emissions coming from refineries, et cetera. And we have, you know, the majority of our emissions actually come from industry, which is completely different than most states, which get most of their emissions from cars. So there again is an opportunity where we could really be dominant in the market by leading the way.
So it seems kind of like what you're saying is, we had a story about this on the news about Drill Baby Drill, that while that sounds good, that's not really where the economic opportunities are.
That's right. Exactly right. Yeah. You know, companies have lots of leases they're not using, you know, and even if they drill more, they're not hiring more people. I mean, they are drilling more and they're not hiring more people. So, you know, there's benefits, of course, to having the energy available to us, but it's not an economic opportunity. That's right.
How much of a concern is automation in Louisiana and around the country going forward?
Yeah, well, certainly automation is a concern, has been a concern, right? It's been a big driver of the loss of manufacturing jobs across the country. And now when we look at AI, it's like likely to automate kind of routine cognitive tasks that, you know, a lot of more white-collar workers. So we haven't done an analysis of how that might impact Louisiana, but certainly it's going to impact the whole country.
Thank you, Allison. I appreciate your time. Hope you can come back when we have more of it so we can drill a little bit deeper on this. Allison Plyer, Chief Demographer at the Data Center, 757. Quick break, back in a flash, WWL. 759 now on this Wednesday morning. I was giving Newell the accolades about his interview with the Archdiocese, with the Second Harvest Food Bank board member, about what the Archdiocese was trying to do. And the spot that they put Nick Carl in, I forgot to tell you where to go. Go to WWL.com. You'll find it right there on the home page. Or you can download the Odyssey app and still use the rewind feature, or just listen to it that way. You can do that for anything we do here on WWL, one specific hour, or just the hottest clips. Download the Odyssey app. You can follow me, Tommy Tucker, Newell, Scoot, whatever. We know you can't always listen to the entire show live, so Odyssey makes it easy to listen when you want. Go to WWL.com, listen to that interview with Newell. We'll be back with Ronald Serpas.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.